Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live today at the Nashville Omni Hotel, the proud sponsor of this fine radio show, at Kitchen Notes, where we will be every Thursday. JoJo, what's up?
I'm good to go, man. Master today. I'm so excited. He's off in just a little bit. We got updates all day long. The Masters is here, and all is right in the world. But before the Masters today, Chaser, a show, my friend, that you have set up, which might be, which is the best 2 hours Nashville sports radio history.
Yeah, look, it it has all come to fruition.
It's the people show,
you know,
right?
I said to you that, hey, we got to – look, we'll just take people behind the curtain for a second. You know, yeah. we've really enjoyed the – what is it, 8 months, whatever it's been, of 6 months of the Chasing Big Joe show.
Yeah, 8 months, 5 days, but yeah. Hey, man.
Who's counting?
Right.
Whatever. And you and I were talking about, all right, what are some things we can do better? Like, what are we like? And, you know, you were like, we need to get some bigger name guests. And I go, done. Challenge accepted. Yeah. Let's get on
right.
That.
I was
and,
kidding, but
you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, when it comes to booking and guests, it's like, I'm not going to just tell you I'm going to do it and tell you that John Calipari is going to come on the show. I'm actually going to deliver on it.
Right.
So it's not John Calipari. He's walking his dog. But Ice Cube will join the show today at 10 o'clock.
Amazing.
The Big Three tournament is going to be here. So he's obviously over the Big Three, and the Big Three is his deal. So they'll be here in August. So he's going to be on to talk about that. And then the very funny Jeff Dunham at 10:30.
Yeah, and then it just was like, all right, this is what we do. Look, great shows throughout the day, you know, and solid content from 6 to 6. It's like, you know, from 9-11, it's going to be a little bit, tad bit different, have some, you know, fun, and then bring these guests on. And then, I mean, how could at 9:30 leave out Greg Wyshynski?
Yeah,
I mean,
I was getting there. You've got to give me a chance here because – another thing that we have on this show, and this is a rule that I put in place long ago, when you make a bold prediction and you're right, you get to take a victory lap. Greg Wyshynski, I believe, was like the only national media member that had the Predators making the playoffs.
I think you're correct on that.
He gets to take a victory lap today.
He does, and that's what we talked to him back in September, and he's like, you know, I actually got the Predators making the playoffs. And I didn't know a lot about the team because it's training camp and new faces and places, but I was like, you know what?
You were still learning what icing was.
Right. If Greg Wyshynski is saying that the Nashville Predators are going to get into the playoffs, well, damn it, they're going to get into the playoffs, and look what they've done.
They have. And so Greg will join us at 9:30. We'll also have another qualifier to win those Jeff Dunham tickets. Just a hint, that's probably going to happen during the Jeff Dunham interview, somewhere around that at 10:30. So be listening for that. And then, of course, we mentioned Ice Cube. But I want to start with the Titans, because yesterday we got to hear from everybody. Brian Callahan spoke for, Nick, you were on the board, I believe it was 30 minutes, if not more. Right?
It was more. It was probably around 40, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more.
And I was seeing tweets from media members of how that it was a great football discussion, and that it wasn't that there was really anything news, you know, breaking news or anything like that. It was just a good discussion on where the team is at and his philosophy, and just a refreshing press conference. Mike Vrabel wouldn't have spoken for 40 minutes if you had paid him.
Doesn't owe you that, though.
Well, I mean, I don't want to argue about this. I'm just saying there's a difference. Like, there is a big difference between how Brian Callahan is going about things and Mike Vrabel. And that's fine. You can do it your way. Like, Vrabel was very much, you ask me the question, I will answer the question, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
And that's fine. That's his style. I just feel like Callahan is more like, I'm going to answer your question, but then I'm going to take you a little bit deeper behind
that's
the curtain.
Fine. Yeah. I gathered a long time ago with coaches that if they don't want to do it, then they, I mean, you know,
right.
Belichick couldn't care less what you
sure.
thought, and on and on, and that's fine, and there's coaches like that. If Callahan wants to open up and talk and be great, even better for all of us to kind of take us behind the curtain. I enjoy that. That's fine, but I don't. If he doesn't, then I'm like, all right, well, he doesn't, then you just go about your business and do your job. So if he's willing to open up and talk to everybody, good. That's good. Like I said, I wanted to hear from the defensive coordinator. That was nice, and to see where this defense is going to go from here. And so well done by all of them.
Yeah, and there's a particular question I want to hit on in a second. But, you know, we kind of talked yesterday. Do you care about what the OC has to say? Do you care about all that? I'll tell you what. I have no athletic qualities whatsoever. We all know that.
Like, handsome's a quality.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But Denard Wilson – like, I'd run through a wall for that guy. Like, that guy has energy. He loves football. Like, you always want to find
right.
guys that love ball.
Yeah.
Like, he loves football. And, like, he is legitimately excited about what he has to work with. And they're not even done yet. Like, no. that to me, I'm going to say like I did with the Predators. I don't know how good this team's going to be. They may not be very good. But I think they're going to be more fun to watch. I just think there's a new just – different vibe.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's fine. But again, it comes down to what you do in September, October, November, December, and January. And if you can get it and be competitive, I think people are fine with that. I think the more we get away from the Vrabel era, the more we realize this guy was kind of a bully. You know,
yeah.
It was kind of a bully in a lot of ways, hard headed. And now here's, and I think maybe Callahan was told, look, be a little bit more transparent. You know, let's invite the writers in, the media in, to show what we're doing and go for it. If that's the case, that's fantastic. And that's wonderful, and we'll see how that continues on down the line.
Here's the question that he was asked that I want to just see if you notice what I noticed.
Okay.
With this answer. He was asked about, I think this is the right one, if he's open to adding more, this is Brian Callahan, adding more wide receivers to the group.
When you look at your group of wide receivers after adding Calvin to that group, how open are you to still adding to that room? And are there any skill sets or traits in particular that you feel like you might currently be lacking?
No, I think you're always open to adding to those spots. I mean, we have to have someone emerge for us at the slot position receiver when we're in 11 personnel. That's one that we got some young players I'm excited to take a look at with obviously Kyle Phillips. Mason Kinsey's been around here a little bit. He's shown his mettle. Obviously, Nick Westbrook Akine has been involved in some of those spots over his career. So trying to find someone to merge in that spot. You know, you got guys that you're trying to always build youth and depth as well. And so those things are in constant flux. You're always trying to have another guy ready to roll. You need depth at every position. That's not just the receivers, but you're always open to those guys. And again, guys that are fast, explosive, and physical, you can't have enough of them.
So that was Brian Callahan yesterday. Did you notice who he didn't mention?
Yeah. I didn't hear that. No, he didn't mention Treylon Burks.
Right. But Mason Kinsey.
And, yeah.
And I happened to be sitting in the studio with the Midday Show when they were doing that, and we all kind of looked at each other like, Mason Kinsey still on the team?
Was he asked about – tell me somebody followed up with a Burks question.
No.
Nobody at the media yesterday followed up.
Not that I heard.
Good Lord.
It was all generalities when it came to the wide receiver. Like that was a general wide receiver question.
Okay.
He never mentioned Treylon Burks. Now, if I would have thought, I'm like
– where's the follow-up?
Hey, where's Burks? What about Burks?
Yeah.
What do you see from Burks? To me, I mean, that got me going. And Twitter was going. Like, it got me thinking of, what does he think of Treylon Burks? Maybe he doesn't have a true thought on Treylon Burks.
Maybe yet. Move Burks to tight end.
I mean, he looks like one right now.
Maybe him tight end.
You know, maybe.
H-back. You block.
Right.
And you're going to run routes.
Right.
I think he'd be a hell of an H-back.
Yeah.
If he got in shape.
Callahan did say they do need tight ends. He did say that specifically.
Yeah. No, I know he said that.
Look, I went back and watched Burks, his tape from Arkansas, and he did some fantastic things against top-level secondaries in college football. So there's talent that is there. I just don't – they've got to bring it out. And at
but some guess
point,
where a lot of that happened? He was in the slot.
Yeah, right.
Like, I've heard D-Mace, and, you know, anything with wide receiver, if D-Mace says it and Chris Sanders says it, like, I'm going to pay attention because obviously they know much better than you or I at that position.
Easy, pal.
But I think that I you know, they have said, and I've heard TD say this too, use him in the slot. That is where he was at his best at Arkansas.
Maybe that's the plan, or, you know, move him around in a tight end kind of way. I mean, at least kick the tires on him this year, right? Don't throw him away.
Yeah.
See what he can do. Go through the training camp. If it doesn't work out, then kind of – look, you got to win games, right? And don't waste my time.
Sure.
But if you can go through the preseason, the games, and you get this new position and you embrace this, but at some point with every player, and I know Derek and Chris will tell you this, pride's got it. Chris Sanders had a great thing the other day about he wasn't mentioned in like 98 or something when they did a press conference. He's like, all right, that was my cue.
Yeah.
To let them know that I'm still here. Maybe that's it. But at some point, pride's got to kick in. And if pride doesn't kick in, then leave.
Right.
Be done with it.
Derek said it. You create your own spot. And D-Mace did that. D-Mace was on this team for 3 years because he was the return guy.
Yep.
And made his place.
Yeah.
And knew that. You know, he had to work for it every year, but
right.
He was safe.
Right. Exactly. I talked, and I know he's not in the mix, but Colton Dow. I talked to him last week, and I said, what's up? He's like, I am a gunner on special teams, and I'm going to – that role, and I'm going to keep fighting until they know that I'm on – realize that I'm a receiver. I'm here too. But until then, like Derek Mason, I'm going to be invaluable to this team any way they want me.
Right. What's interesting is – you know, Vrabel really liked guys that were willing to play special teams.
Sure,
because he was one of those.
He was one of them.
And so there were a lot of guys that made this football team because of their willingness to go out and play special teams and play special teams at a high level. I'm curious of how Brian Callahan's going to look at that. I think he's looking for more skill. Like if you're going to have a roster spot, then he wants if he looks at Colton Dowell and says, "Hey, you're a receiver. You're." One of the six best receivers on this team, then he's going to make the team.
Well, I mean, Ridley's not special teams. Hopkins not.
Right.
You know, Burks isn't. I mean, so you find your slot, you find your position, and become well at it. Who was the guy? He retired for the Patriots. His day, Slater. His day, dad was Jackie Slater. Played like 16 years in special teams.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And just found his role and became invaluable to that football team. At some point, we talk about, I got this bracelet here that says we over me. And that's kind of what you have to do. And so guys like Colton Dowell can do that. But if Burks can realize that and go, you know, like, all right, I got this one chance. That's why we're so frustrated at Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know Isaiah Wilson before he got drafted, but he blew an opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was the thing, like, how can you blow this opportunity? If you don't want to play football, fine. Take care. But stop, keep trying to come back and don't blow this opportunity that you got. He'll regret it one day.
Oh, sure.
We all do.
Sure.
Wake up one day and say, you know what? I do it every day. I did not work hard enough. But if you leave everything on the table like a Derek Mason or Chris Sanders, then you're good, man.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and, you know, look at Steve Tasker, the best special teams player of all time, probably.
But top five?
I mean, he's not in the Hall. Or is he in the Hall?
No.
Yeah, he probably should be. But – you know, those guys matter.
Yeah.
And so I know that was a big thing.
I just don't like when people say, and I agree with Paul Kucharski about this, don't tell me special teams is a third of the game, because it's not.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It's maybe 15% of the game.
It's important.
Break it down. It is.
It's important. It has a place. But, no, I agree with you.
I just can't believe nobody followed up with a Burks question.
I know. Again, I from what I heard, I didn't hear that.
Okay.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live at Kitchen Notes today. The Masters is today, and so our question of the day is,
if you're going to play, remember they go off in threes, who's your other two you play with? Anybody, you got to be living. If you're going to play the Masters.
Does not have to be a golfer either.
No,
it can be anybody.
God, no, I don't want to play with a golfer to show how bad I am. Anybody. So we want to hear, who's the two people you would take? It could be anybody to go with you to play 18, And that's a great – we do it every year, and the answers are fantastic.
Yeah, 615-737-1025, that's our question of the day. And we'll put this caveat, at Augusta. Who would you want to play with at Augusta?
Right.
To make your trio. 615-737-1025. Live today at Kitchen Notes, Ice Cube at 10 o'clock.
Woo!
Greg Wyshynski coming up in about 15 minutes. 1025, 1063, The Game. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Do what you like. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game. You can't think golf and not think this song. As Joe just takes a bite of his oatmeal.
I'm good, man. You need to watch the documentary on the making of Caddyshack because it was a Coke Fest marijuana smoking movie set for like 6-7 weeks and nobody thought it would go anywhere. In fact, it's a tragic story because the guy that helped write the story committed suicide a week after the movie came out because nobody went and saw it. He jumped off a ledge in Hawaii and killed himself. And the movie took over. I mean, it became a cultural icon, cultural phenomenon, and to this day, it's one of the greatest movies ever.
It is. And, I mean, look, if he had lived and to see what it
That's the thing. It's
become,
like, had he would have had
it became known. Such a cult classic.
Yep. Yeah. And that's it. So, great question, though. Who you got, man? Give me your two.
Our question. Well, let's read through some of these, and then I'll get to mine. Our question of the day is, in honor of the Masters, you get a round of 18 at Augusta National. Who are the other two that make up your trio? Can be anybody. Can be your friends. Can be celebrities. Can be golfers. Whatever. 615-737-1025. Alex from Nashville on the text line is the first one in and says Jared Stillman and Mike Vrabel.
Oh, God. Why would you do that to yourself? One's bad enough.
That actually could be funny. Gover says Bill Murray and Nate Bargatze. That would be a fun one. 2758, my dad and my son.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice. Very, very simple. 7883, one from the wrestling world, Vince Russo and Jim Cornette. I don't think you'd make it through 18 because they would fight. let's see. John from Clarksville. I'm playing around with my dad and brother. Both are past, but a magical day walking Augusta with them would be everything. Absolutely. That's a good one. 0388, Fred Couples and Davis Love. So he wants to go the golf route.
That's fine.
I love Freddie Couples. Mike, Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony, grab the clubs, a boombox, and the tequila.
Oh, yes.
That would be a blast.
Sammy would be so much fun.
Robin Williams and Kay Williams, we wouldn't get anything done.
Cat Williams.
Cat Williams. It says Kay. Yeah. Sorry.
Or Kay. I mean, Kay's funny.
Will Ferrell and Arnold.
That's a great one. Yeah. Arnold would be fascinating. I
bet he's a good golfer.
I would love. Yeah, I would love. He's a big cigar guy, which is great. But I'd love. He's got a great story, man.
8492, Bill Murray and Donald Trump.
That would be. A lot of people would say Trump, but they don't want the backlash.
So here's like whenever I'm asked questions like this, like if you could have a beer with somebody or, you know, a president is always – no matter what side you're on, like I think Barack Obama would be fascinating,
right?
Because of the stories, and like George W. Bush would be fascinating.
Sure.
Trump, you know, anybody, Clinton. So a president, it always is first to come to mind for me just because think of the stories, you know, think of the things that you talk about over 18 holes.
All right. So down this rabbit hole we're going down, if you could go off with the Bush, Clinton, Obama.
The living president.
Yeah, ex-president. You're golfing with one of them. What's the one question you'd want to ask that you want an answer for? You know what mine is?
Ooh, go ahead.
Do you know who killed Kennedy?
Oh, yeah.
Do you 100%. Know who killed Kennedy?
Do you have the file? And does the file tell
you? I want to know if you know. If not, I'm good. And the second question would be Area 51.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah.
That's it. I'm an idiot. That's all I'd want to know. Those are two
really good questions.
Yeah.
To ask.
Yeah. But I'm with you. The political aisle, I don't give a damn.
Right.
But those are questions I'd ask.
I'm still thinking them.
Okay.
So
give me your twosome.
That's what I'm still thinking. I'm trying to
for the president. I'd have to give you mine real quick. I love Joe Namath. I'd like to golf with Joe Namath.
Yep.
And then Don Johnson.
That'd be cool.
Don, it's Crockett, man. He'd probably, after one hole, like, look, man, I haven't played that role since 1989.
I've played other roles, too.
Do you mind? I'm like, no, man, you signed up for this to me ask you Miami Vice questions, so answer my questions, and that's it.
Okay.
Those are my two.
Let's see. Kevin Hart and Bert Kreischer, that would be the most fun round of golf ever, Colton.
Can you imagine golf with Kevin Hart? I mean, you wouldn't make
it. Would Bert Kreischer keep his shirt on?
I hope not. He's in town, what, Saturday at Clarksville?
Yeah, I think so.
That's right.
Let's go to the phones. Chuck wants to weigh in on this. Chuck, welcome in.
Hey, thank you very much. My twosome would be Mike Tyson and Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Yes. Why?
Well, Ozzy cracks me up. I mean, I'm a 57-year-old, so I pretty much grew up with him. And I imagine all the stories he has. And just hearing him talk, I love – he just cracks me up. He's hilarious. And Mike Tyson, same deal. I pretty much grew up with the dude. I think he would be hilarious out there. Probably not the best golfer. Ozzy would probably be busting his chops the whole time, and I'd probably be on the ground laughing the whole time.
Now, are you going to watch the Tyson fight against, was it Logan Paul, whoever it is?
No, the other Paul.
Jake Paul.
I hope he knocks his head off. I really do. But I don't want to see him get hurt. I mean, I nearly lost my lunch when Buster Douglas beat him. So it hurts to see the guy get beat up. So I hope he does well.
Well done. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate the call, Chuck. Good stuff. 615-737-1025. 1423 says, Chasing Big Joe. I love you guys.
No.
Joel and Woodbury, Jared Stillman and Paul Kuharsky.
Why would you do that to yourself? Could you imagine golfing with those two guys?
I don't know. Can either one of them play golf?
Well, that's fine. But the arguing for 18 holes?
Oh, I know.
If I wanted to do that, I'd get married again.
1405, give me Zelensky and Putin.
Oh, Zelensky would want more money, though. Pass.
Big Joe and John Daly.
Oh, John Daly. Oh, how could I? What number was that?
That was 8465.
Great. John. How could we miss out on John?
John Daly might be.
Daly.
Might be on the list.
I told you, I've dealt with him two or three times. Outstanding. Couldn't have been any nicer. And then I got that one video where he got out of his cart barefoot and he's like, watch this. And he hit a drive. It went 330. Down the middle, Old Hickory. I mean, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Now, he didn't even warm up.
Yeah.
And for all these great new golfers today, we love Dustin Johnson and yada, yada, yada. I'm telling you, John Daly goes to the Masters. He has the biggest gap. Besides Tiger, John Daly has the biggest gallery following.
Yeah.
By far.
I mean, in his prime, he has probably the best drive. Strongest drive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he can –
he drove all night as an alternate to get in the PGA at Crooked Stick, whatever it is in Indianapolis, and wins.
Yeah.
And then wins the British Open in 95. I mean, it's just – he earned that right. I mean, he is a damn crowd favorite.
oh, this could be good. Wes in Clarksville, Dale Sr. and Morgan Freeman. Let Morgan Freeman narrate the match. I mean, can we do Dead or Alive?
No.
So Dale Jr.?
Dale Jr., yeah.
See, and a lot of people would think I would say Dale Jr.
What's the problem? Can't you?
I don't know because I got like 50.
Dale Jr.'s one of them. You would all love
Dale
to go.
Jr. Dale Jr. And I keep coming back to this one, so I'm going to say it. Denzel Washington.
Okay.
I think that'd be fun. That'd be two different. Got an actor. Got an athlete. Get different stories.
Okay.
I do that.
You want a Denzel story real quick?
Yeah.
So Denzel was in a movie called Wilma, about Wilma Rudolph, filmed in Clarksville. He was in that movie. His wife was an extra on that set, and he met his wife. So
that's
I don't know if they met in Clarksville. I read something that did meet in Clarksville, but that's how they met in the late 70s, and then they've been together ever since. You can't go wrong with Denzel Washington.
Robbie Stanley says Tiger and Wayne Gretzky. That'd be fun. Okay. I mean, that would
be a little boring, but that's, you know,
Robbie Stanley. I don't think it's boring. It's good. I mean, think of the stories.
You see the Tiger Woods story about going to the Masters? Like, he's been celibate for the last couple of weeks or whatever. Join the crowd.
Hey-o. Real quick, Kenny the Mailman has been waiting patiently. Kenny, what's up?
Hello. My friend Joe Dubin mentioned the two people I'd like to golf with just yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Paul Kariya's two older brothers, North and South. Literally, Joe, if I didn't have a seatbelt on yesterday, that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. It's so goofy and so nutty. It is hilarious. I love stuff like that.
Kenny, I try to be funny like that, you know, when I'm delivering the guideposts.
I do not sound like Rick Moranis on Ghost. You cut that out. But I did want to brag on y'all, Bennett. Please keep doing the interviews you do, like with Joe Piscopo the other day. A lot of radio stations are going away from that and just throwing canned stuff in. When you get someone live like that, you hear stories you've never heard before, and it's just so enriching. So please, please, please keep doing that.
Thank you, sir. All my best to y'all.
Thanks, Kenny.
Appreciate it. We will. And we have one of those coming up at 10 o'clock with Ice Cube. Coming up next, Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, will join us. He will take his victory lap on the Chasing Big Joe show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, which is where we're at today here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting live today from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes on this Thursday. And as we do every Thursday at this time, we say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, senior NHL writer for them. There's so much to get into, but Greg, we have a rule on this show. When you make a bold prediction and it becomes true, you get to take a victory lap. So as what I believe to be the only national media member to pick the Predators to make the playoffs, you get to take a victory lap here on the show.
I shall. I mean, thank you. No, I appreciate the flowers, all the candy. I'm hoping that maybe you guys scared up some whiskey for me too.
Yeah, we could do that.
But again, like, I take everything in moderation. Did I pick the Predators to make the playoffs? Of course I did, and I was correct. Did I pick the Devils to make the playoffs? Yeah, I did that too, and that wasn't so correct. So, on the whole, I think my bold predictions, I'd put them up against anybody's in the preseason. I think I did pretty well for myself. And the Predators making the cut was definitely one of them, man. I had faith, even in the darkest times, that they'd make it. And, you know, I didn't predict the U2 thing, but you know, it's one of those things that has to happen for your prediction to come true.
All right, take us back to September, Greg, when you were looking at the Predators from the outside looking in. What made you want or think the Preds are going to make the playoffs?
Right coach at the right time. You know, yeah. I think Andrew Brunette and the way that he coaches is – A, good for a team that has a mix of veterans and younger players, and B, is the kind of hockey you need to play to excel in this league. You know, play with tempo, play with speed, play with offense. And the fact that Barry Trotz was open to that and wasn't just trolling us by having an offensive guy get hired to play defense encouraged me that they were going to play the kind of hockey I think you need to do to excel in this league. So, the vibe changed with Barry coming in and Brunette behind the bench, you know, O'Reilly kind of giving them some solidity in the middle. And then obviously the goaltending, even though Juuse Saros hasn't been great for the totality of the season, was good enough to get him over the hump. And frankly, like I wasn't really blown away by the wild card bubble area of the Western Conference. And I think that opinion, you know, was bared out in the end.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. And look, as a city that went through the possibility of losing their team many, many years ago, you know, obviously it's still a sensitive subject, but looking at what's going on in Arizona, I have watched this, you've watched this for years. I mean, it's been going on for a decade or more of the NHL trying to save the Coyotes and new owners and trying to stay in Arizona and the Phoenix area, and it feels like they are – you know, fourth down and 35, and it's a Hail Mary to try and keep this thing going. Now it appears the NHL has a contingency plan that would move the Coyotes to Utah, to Salt Lake City. What's the latest you've heard on this, and do you feel like the time in Arizona is coming to an end?
Very much so. I'm happy you brought up the relocation thing, because I think the majority of NHL fans don't know what that feeling is. Nashville fans do. Pittsburgh fans do. Devils fans do. I remember being a kid at their Stanley Cup parade in 1995 in the parking lot of the Meadowlands, worried that they were going to move to Nashville.
You know,
so like,
right.
I've been through it too. So You know, what we know is that the contingency plan is they made two different schedules in the event that they were going to move. And, you know, Emily Kaplan and I have a story on ESPN.com that I hope everybody checks out that really covers a lot of the ins and outs and inner workings of the situation going on right now with the Coyotes in Salt Lake City. And the bottom line is that both of us in talking to our sources yesterday came up with the same answer, which is that they're going, which is that they will be in Salt Lake City next year. We can't report it as such because there are still lawyerings to be done. And both the NHL and the Coyotes and the Salt Lake people aren't willing to go as far as to say it's a done deal. So again, caveat, you never know when you have an owner like Alex Morello if this thing's going to get over the goal line, as you put it. But every indication we've gotten is that it's going to happen and that the Coyotes have this incarnation of the franchise has played their last game in Arizona.
All right, Greg, playoffs start.
We'll have played their last game in Arizona by the end of the season, I should say.
All right, that's all right. Well, a playoff start a week from today. Going in now, is there a team that you, outside like the teams at the very, very top, is there one team that you're thinking, all right, watch out for this team? They're putting it together, everything at the right time at the right place.
The Lightning are interesting only because it seems like Vasilevsky has really kind of found his game again. And, I mean, outside of Marty Brodeur, he's probably the best postseason goalie we've had in the last, like, 20 years. So, I mean, like, when you see him starting to round into form a little bit after what's been a really uncharacteristically bad season for him, it perks you up. I still don't think that they've got the depth to do what that team has done in the past. And they certainly are going to miss Mikhail Sergachev in some pretty key situations in the playoffs. But they're one that I'm kind of keeping my eye on. The other one that I find interesting, and again, it's really hard to say this when you watch how good Nathan McKinnon's been playing, and especially last night, like he's just on another level right now. But Winnipeg has kind of been sneaky good the last couple of weeks. They were a really dominant defensive team throughout the season. And Connor Hellebuck, obviously, we know what he can do in a playoff series in the crease. But if they can find their offense, which they have been a little bit, and they get back to that fundamentally strong defense, I mean, I don't think that's the easiest out for Colorado. But at the same time, it's really hard to believe that the Avalanche could go out in the first round in consecutive seasons.
Greg, Barry Trotz was on with our afternoon show with Jared Stillman, asked about, do you rather play Dallas or Vancouver? And he gave a great answer. You know, basically, hey, we're happy to be in the playoffs, but there'd be a lot of pressure on Vancouver because it's Canada, it's up there, it's Western Canada, people love Vancouver. And for us, he said, the Nashville Predators, we just go up and play hockey, no pressure on us. I thought it was a really telling answer of when you hit the playoffs, Greg, how everything is amped up, especially in Canada, because down here in Nashville, we don't get to see all that, what goes on, especially in Canada and Western Canada.
Yeah, I mean, spoken by a guy whose team's in the wild card versus a team that won their division, right? Like, I mean, that's right. Part of the dynamic, too. I think that's fair, and I do think the Predators are going to be able to play with a little bit of reckless abandon and without the weight of the world on their shoulders in the same way that teams like Dallas and Vancouver are going to have to play. Vancouver's a really interesting one. I mean, I think a lot of us are really curious to see how they handle the playoff grind. They can play defense. There's no question about that. But their offense is very reliant on maybe like four guys. And so if they end up playing Vegas in the playoffs, if they end up playing LA in the playoffs, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle teams that are veteran laden and really know how to defend in the playoffs. You know, there's a chance that this could be Vancouver's year, and we're all underestimating how good they'll be in the postseason. But there's also a chance that they're going to be kind of like last year's Devils, where maybe the emotion and the enthusiasm gets you through one round, but then you go find them against some old pros in the second round, and it's a different story.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. I want to go back to the Coyotes situation for a second, because when this is done, and I'm with you that it feels like next year we're going to be talking about the Utah, whatever they're called. And this reminds me a lot of when the Thrashers went to Winnipeg. And because everybody thought it was going to be the Coyotes going back to Winnipeg, you know, at that point. And that happened very, very fast. When this is all said and done, and somebody asks you the question 5 years from now, why did the Coyotes fail in Arizona? I think there's a lot of different ways you can take it, but what will be your answer?
My answer is moving to Glendale. That's the crux of a lot of this. They moved away from where their fans are. That became a whole situation as far as trying to get people to the games. Obviously, the relationship between the Coyotes and the city deteriorated to the point where the city canceled its lease in the arena, which then sent them to Mullet Arena, where they were playing on the campus of a college with 5,000 fans per game. And then the stink of that whole situation is, I think, the primary reason why the vote in Tempe to get a new arena failed. There's always, you know, unions were against it, the people didn't want extra taxes. But at the core of it, it's that this was a team that people thought didn't pay their bills in Glendale and then was asking you to put your faith in them to, you know, pay their bills in Tempe. And so I think the move to Glendale from Phoenix was really the biggest mistake for this team and was sort of the first domino to fall through everything else. Of course, there's also the on-ice thing. They haven't been successful. They haven't had any luck in the draft lottery despite being a terrible team. You know, imagine if Austin Matthews is playing in Arizona. Like, would we even be having this discussion? Probably not. So, but I think from a logistics standpoint, it was that decision to move far out to the suburbs and away from their fan base.
So do you feel like that after this is all said and done, the league from a team's moving standpoint should be relatively healthy? Because I don't really see any situations in the near future that would require a team to move.
No, the relocation thing won't be happening for anybody else, I don't think, anytime soon. The expansion thing is the real question. I mean, there was a report by my colleague Kevin Weeks that Houston and Atlanta were meeting with the league. But I do wonder if this decision to relocate Arizona, I mean, obviously there's a lot of reasons locally for the Coyotes to move, but it's also, we can't ignore the Salt Lake City part of this. They have an owner in Ryan Smith, the guy who owns the Utah Jazz, that wants to pay upwards of $1.3 billion for a hockey team. And they have a market that is clearly ready for an NHL team to be there. And so a lot of us thought the Coyotes might be able to go through this process of trying to win the land auction and build the arena because Salt Lake City might eventually get an expansion team. But it's pretty clear that the NHL wants to be in Salt Lake City sooner than later. And I think that might speak to the expansion process maybe happening a little bit further down the road than we thought it could, because, you know, maybe the NHL just wanted to hasten things and give Smith his team right now.
I'm going to be honest, and look, I've got friends in Atlanta, and I love going down for baseball games. And a third shot at it, I don't know. And obviously it hurts this market because a lot of the Thrashers fans have now become Predators fans.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
Sure, but it could also help the market in the sense that you'll have a closer local rival too. I mean, that's part of it, the equation too. Here's what I think about Atlanta. The league is convinced that the business growth and the change in sort of like demographics and the growth of the suburbs in Atlanta are remarkably different than they were like 15 years ago. And so Bill Daly told me that's why they're really looking at it. They're looking at it because they think that materially the situation has changed on the ground in Georgia and in Atlanta, where a team there could maybe work if it's placed in the right place. There's two ownership groups. They both want to build like giant multi-use facilities around an arena where this team would play. And I'm open-minded about it. And here's the thing. This got me in trouble with the Salt Lake City people, but I don't care. Like, if you're talking about growth of the game demographically, there's a certain redundancy, if you know what I'm saying, going to Utah, right? Going to Houston, going to Atlanta, that's different. That's a whole different kind of demographic reach than you normally have in a hockey market. And that's why I've always been more open-minded about them going there than maybe going to SLC. But I'm sure the Salt Lake team is going to make money hand over fist there.
Yep, no doubt. Greg, appreciate it as always. Good stuff, and we will talk next week.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us here on the program. There is breaking news out of the football world that we will tell you about coming up next. We're live today at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Ice Cube coming up in just a few minutes here on the program. Really looking forward to that. Only have a couple minutes because we went a little long with Greg Wyshynski, but some breaking news. And look, it's interesting breaking news for sure. This was tweeted out from O.J. Simpson's Twitter account just a few minutes ago. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, His family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. That is a statement from the family. O.J. Simpson dead at the age of 76.
Yeah, I mean, that's some shocking news that came in, you know, just a little while ago, and it literally just broke 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
To do that. And, you know, there are two O.J. Simpsons.
Yep. There's the football player, and then there's
what happened.
And then there's what happened.
Yeah, I remember when all that went down, like, well, get him out of the Hall of Fame. Well, look, that's a discussion for a whole other day, but the Hall of Fame, you know, that was before all that, of course, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for football, what he did on the field. Now, do you take him out now afterwards? It's not my decision to do that. I don't know, but, you know, I mean, you feel bad. I don't care about him.
Sure.
I feel bad for his kids.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for his kids. They were not brought in that situation. It's unfair to them.
So passing that along, O.J. Simpson dead at the age of 76. Coming up next, Ice Cube will join us. Rapper, actor, and obviously a big part of the Big Three. He will join us next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.